It's October 28th. It's 2019, so it's October 28th, 2019. It's a couple minutes before 9 in the morning. I've just been kind of mulling over my approach to getting the outline completed. So, part of what I've been working on is I've been trying to reconcile my diagramming of the cascades of the diagramming of the cascade from as above, so below. You change the course of thought, you change the course of events. I've been trying to reconcile that with my segmented outline for my presentations. You know, it's kind of like how it's there's a flow to it. There's a flow to the organization of the material that's inherent in the diagramming, in the cascading. But I sort of have to chop that up and then tie it back together in the segmented outline for the presentations. And that's the challenge that I've been working on because I really want to start doing production. I'd like to get over the course of the next few months, going through the fall of 2000 and winter of 2019, across the holidays into the beginning of 2020, I'd like to have at least a lion's share, at least a majority of the presentations completed. And I also want to put up links for the support audio notes and perhaps even some scan notes. I don't know exactly how much I'm going to do on the scan side. I have to kind of sort through, and because some of them are pretty dense, and you know, it's all or nothing, or something in between, because I want to make the material, the supporting material, I should say the development notes. That's really what I want to do. I want to make that available to others if they want to dive in a little deeper and understand how I arrived at these models. And how I've mapped it out, because that's methods, models, and maps. That's kind of where that comes from, you know, how I ended up mapping it out in the way that I have. But in all of that, I guess if I come back to, I've got to kind of take it apart because of the segmented presentations. And then I have to have connection to kind of weave it back together, in order to show that flow that I was able to depict or map out, I should say, model and map in my cascade diagramming. So that's sort of been the challenge. And what struck me this morning and prompted me to want to make a few quick notes is I kind of came full circle back to a very early set of audio notes when, once, you know, on a walk, I remember saying that if there was one concept that I could clearly and concisely communicate, and so that others could easily understand, comprehend it, it would be the concept of the bridge function. And what struck me while I was sort of reviewing this and trying to figure out how to make the transition from the cascading modeling and mapping to the segmented outline, I kind of realized that the common thread in all of it, and the way I can sew it, weave it together, connect it, weaving it together, is the concept of the bridge function. That's what kind of struck me. So I think one of the things that kind of made me remember how vital, how prominent that concept, that function was, I remembered in the notes I talked about, I guess it was G. Spencer Brown talked about how you had to identify a position from which your reader, or in this case, someone who is entertaining the material that I'm offering, you have to identify a position from which they should be, a position from which to consider the material. And in my case, that position is the bridge function. And so at that point, it just kind of, it was kind of dawned on me that, well, that is the most prominent concept that is, in some respects, that is the thread that holds the whole weave of my material together. I'm trying to remember what that is in my notes, which thread that is. I think it's the woof thread. I'm going to look real quick just because I'm curious about that. They call it the weft, WEFT, or the woof, WOOF. But it is the part of the weave, it is the thread of the weave that holds all the warp threads in a weave. It's what binds everything together. It serves that function. So it's kind of what I realized with breaking this modeling and mapping of the cascades of the bridge function. I realized that that concept can weave everything into this tapestry, into this the fabric of reality. It's, you are here, Reality Check Adventure Training. And so what I'm basically saying, and part of that stand and point, and I actually have it as the last of three topics in that presentation's outline, in the outline of that presentation, stand and point, is the bridge function. You are here is standing and pointing exactly to that concept. You are the bridge. Each individual, each individual entity that has presence. Now, I'm referring more so to embodiment than I am to incorporation, although at some level that does come into play. But primarily, I'm standing and pointing to the individual embodiment of that function. And again, materialize creative consciousness, but materialize creative consciousness of infinite potential. And that's the part that's going to be tough to. I mean, it's exciting, but it's. I think it will be a challenge to. For there to be have for there to be full impact of the meaning of that for individuals, because anything that is infinite, how can you, it's almost you can't wrap your head around it, your mind around it. It's like it boggles, I guess is kind of what I'm leading to there. So anyway, before I go on to the last thing I wanted to mention in these notes, each of these segmented present each of the presentations that represent a segment of the concepts and the story, I have to remember that I'm tying everything together, connecting everything. That's what it is. I'm providing connection through that concept of the bridge function. All through this, that's the common thread through all the material, and I have to remember to keep tying it back to that's how I'm going to create that weave of connection. So anyway, the other thing I just really wanted to mention in passing before I sign off is I was doing some studying about, so I'm going to talk about the label that I chose, and then how conceptually I conceived of a way of expressing what I mean by it. And it's again very bumpy because it's a very difficult thing to approach, and that's what part of what I want to talk about here. So, the label that I had chosen was singularity, a singularity. And that sort of served the modeling that I had done early on or earlier about union, divergence, and reunion. A singularity of consciousness that the teleological, which is purpose, is materialized creative consciousness. So the thing is, the singularity in its pure state is pure consciousness, is pure potential. And that's the hard part. That's going to be the challenging part. It's been challenging for me, and have I accomplished it? Anything like that, it's like you, it reminds me of the crab, you move a little bit over here, you move a little bit to the left, a little bit to the right, in order to try to get a bead on it. By its very nature, you can't really pin it or nail it down, because I'm working from a finite perspective of perceptions, and I'm trying and I'm considering the infinite. So I don't know if that's the proper way to describe that circumstance, the human condition, but that's sort of the best I can think of right now. But so the thing is, it's non-material, it's without substance, it's a null set or an empty set. And that's the really difficult part to attempt to try to conceptualize, because especially in science, and most especially in physics, I don't know a lot about, but like particle physicists, and they're trying to go deeper and deeper into the physical stuff, the physical particles and relationships and fields that constitute our reality, our universe, the human condition that we're born into. And I think from that approach, it would be kind of something to trip over if you find out that at the very lowest fundamental, there is no thing. It is non-physical. It is a null set. So that creates a real challenge for someone who has dedicated, their career and that's their chosen discipline to investigate that physical material, the matter. At deeper and deeper levels of experience or of existence. If it leads to something that is non-material, and of course, that's where I think some people would cross over into religion. That would be a challenge, so to make that leap. So, anyway, with that said, it seems to me, in all the things that, and all the ways that I've tried to conceive of a way to share that fundamental with others in such a way that they might be able to relate to it. So I'm going to say the way I've approached it, and then I'm going to share the way I've heard others speak about it in some lectures that I viewed, in one particular lecture that I viewed. So I think of it kind of like a carrier wave. To me, consciousness is sort of like the carrier. And, I'm in its pure state, it's a fundamental. It's the singularity. And then everything that exists in the material world, from the all the way at the depths of what physicists have learned about particles and fields, all the way up to the surface manifestation or actualization of our physical world, everything represents intelligence that's impressed upon that carrier. But what's really tough to wrap your mind, someone's finite mind around, is that the carrier and intelligence are one and the same. It's just and of course, that goes back to my whole thing of the metaphysical Big Bang. A pure state, and in the instant, the pure state of consciousness, of pure potential, became self-aware. In that instant, it modulated the carrier, it created. And everything that we experience in the human condition is a result of that expression of creativity. Again, it's just, it's hard for me to even, I don't know. There's this humility of trying to find a way to express a way that I'm trying to use my finite human consciousness to approach an understanding of the infinite. Yeah, so that's, it's the best I think I can do at this moment. So now to go on to this presentation that I think, this lecture that I think came closest to describing this. There was so they talk about basically talk about a symphony. And I do have that in my notes, not in the exact same way that this lecture talked about it, but it's like the musical tone as the fundamental, and then all of the harmonics that come up from that, that are created or generated by that fundamental. You have the fundamental and the harmonics, and it creates a symphony. And made perfect sense to me. Just to me, it's just another way of trying to approach the infinite with a finite mind, from a finite paradigm. Now, the way that I use that is kind of going back to the carrier with intelligence being impressed upon the carrier, which modulates the carrier. I talk about the symphony of many voices, that each intelligent conscious being is impressing a signal on the carrier and modulating the carrier. And these individual actualities, which in the weave modeling, I talk about the warp, which is all the parallel threads within the fabric of the weave. I talk about that's how we weave the fabric of our collective reality. Each of these individual actualizations of consciousness, these conscious entities, are impressing intelligence upon the carrier and modulating the carrier. And those actualities are combined by this inherent system to create our shared reality. And the conditions that we're born into represent the weft thread, or the woof thread. That condition is representative, that thread is representative of the human condition that we're each born into. And it's also representative of the constants which flow from, or I should say, from the constants, that source of these constants flow science and the tool or the test proofing of experimentation. You know, that's the whole point about the scientific method, that repeatability of the results of an experiment, those are constants. And so that's part of this inherent human condition that weaves the shared experience that we as entities are what's the word I'm looking for? Enveloped in. We're enveloped in this human condition. We're born into it. It's an inherent condition, and it's a shared condition. And so, anyway, I think that's about all I wanted to cover. Again, I have found examples of others who conceptualize some of this in basically conceptualize with their finite conscious awareness, conceptualize the infinite in ways that are similar or in some respects parallel to my own. Of course, we have to be very forgiving of each other, and that's, you know, a part, it's sort of the tolerance part, that in approaching something like this, there's so much opportunity for variance, for divergence, in the very nature of trying to approach the infinite from a finite paradigm. It's just, very challenging, but very rewarding. And I think sometimes if someone is not closed off, and if they don't have a closed mind, I think it's pretty easy to realize that someone who is, that's their chosen discipline, that they have a passion and a devotion to seeking. It doesn't take much for them to find common ground, and realize that their companions in their quest and it's sort of that, well, kind of goes back to the symphony where together we can accomplish things that no one individual could do on their own, alone. And so that's that collaboration, that's that, finding ways to work play together. And that really, to me, is sort of the treat, one of the treats of that kind of companionship. So, having that aha moment, and I think, people talk about an epiphany, and having someone to share it with that means something to them. That's the meaning, and they can fathom at some level, they can fathom the value of that awareness, of that awakening awareness. Well, anyway, that's enough for now. Signing off.